Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 114 of Geek Girls. The Geek Girls podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host, September, a.k.a. 9 of 12.
Hello!
Hello. You were sick last week, which was very sad.
Oh, yeah. I want to apologize to everyone for last week. The grills, we had problems, and even getting a message out to you on Facebook and Twitter didn't happen. I mean, I ended up in the urgent care. Jen's computer is just, she has no audio of any kind, and she's had like engineers trying to help her, and it's been awful. But yeah, I was really, really, really sick.
Yeah. So besides that, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I did get to go to the Ren Fest after all. I thought it was the last week, and then I got a message Saturday night from a friend and said, hey, you want to go to Ren Fair tomorrow? It's the last day. I'm like, what? It's not over. And I text my other friend, Leanne. I'm like, it's not over, because she thought it was over too. And she usually has a season pass, so I wasn't just being stupid. I know they had a cancellation week because the parking lot's flooded, and I'm wondering if it was actually extended. But anyway, so I went. I thought I was better enough to go. And I was good until toward the end of it, and then I don't know, the humidity and walking around, I overdid it and wasn't better enough, and that's how I ended up sick enough to end up in the urgent care the next day. But I had mostly a really good time. Ran into some people I had met at an event not long ago. Unfortunately, spotted someone I had a restraining order against walking by, and that was a little tense. But had mimosas while watching the joust and got Sir Maximilian's like fake blood all over my Ren dress.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, it washed out. So yeah, I didn't buy a lot of stuff. I didn't have a bunch of money to spare or anything, but I had a really good time with some good friends and a friend of mine from back up in Buffalo that they've moved down here and we never get to hang out. Her and her family was there. So it turned out to be a really good time to go. What else? I got some commissions this week. So I'm making a whole bunch of tarot pouches. One of our recent subjects with linings. So I got all this fancy cloth to deal with. And I should be starting my beer this week at the brewery, if all goes well.
That's right.
Yeah. they're going to make a blonde and then pull out part of the batch to add my stuff to it. The jasmine and the tea and the honey. So I'm really so excited. And today pops up, I'm getting help with a Pokemon Go event. Community Day is coming up. I'll talk about that in the news. But it's cold now. And our Pokemon people, I think I mentioned it, they're wonderful. I couldn't participate at the last one, but I stopped by and donated anyway because they did a canned food drive. They had like a table set up and you got raffle tickets. They raffled off prizes for bringing canned goods. They had little eggs hidden around the area with little mini Pokemon in them that you could find.
That's so cool.
They do all this cool stuff. So today I got a message from one of those organizers and she was like, it's, you know, winter's coming, it's cold. And people were talking about doing it, and I thought about all those posts you make from Fourth Creek Brewery, and you think they'd let us have it there. I said, yes. As a matter of fact, I got one of the owners back into the game recently, and the other one was saying, yeah, Garrett was trying to tell me his post on Facebook. He was playing Pokemon. So I said, I'm sure they would. What date do you want to do it? And they're going to do it the weekend after the Pokemon event. They're just going to do a separate Sunday, the 9th of December event for people to come and be friends and make trades. And then it sort of started spinning because the brewery has a charity every month where a pint from a certain brew goes to a charity, and their charity is Rescue Ranch next month. So I let the Pokemon people know that, and they're like, oh, cool. Well, we'll incorporate that. And, hey, you do trivia there, right? I was like, yeah. Well, we've been wanting to do Pokemon trivia. I was like, so they're going to tap my brain about format. And I was like, okay, well, if we're going to do trivia, I have to bring my PA. So now it's looking like it's going to be a raffle and a trivia and a charity event in with this Pokemon Go event at my local brewery.
Hooray! That's really, really cool.
Yeah, this should be loads of fun. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, we went to see the lights at the Atlanta Botanical Garden this week, last weekend.
And that I was saw really your pictures. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that was super fun. It wasn't super cold, so I wasn't, like, bundled. And I could enjoy the outside still. It got really cold today. I hosted Thanksgiving at my house for the first time because I have a house. Up until now, I've, you know, been living in apartments, so we didn't have the space. It was only slightly stressful. I didn't feel stressed out, but I kind of was acting a little spazzy for like half an hour when we were trying to get all the food on the table.
Yeah, that bringing it all together at the same time is the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it went fine. Everybody brought delicious food and everything was okay. And it didn't devolve into political talk, which is great for my family. Let's see. I bought and played the DLC that they've got right now for Hidden Folks, which is that little like point and click kind of Where's Waldo game where you're finding things. And it gives you little hints, and everything makes sound when you click on it. It's really adorable. So they had, like, a little beach edition with four new levels. It's just, like, $3. So I was like, gotta buy this. And I played it for a couple hours. I had a lot of fun. I've been playing Pokemon Go. So I've been having the Saga of the Eevee because I am on the research where you have to evolve an Eevee into an Espeon. And as you may know, evolving an Eevee is up to chance. So I've been evolving Eevees for like...
No one told you the trick?
I looked it up finally. I was like,
you should have called me.
There's got to be a way. I looked online, it's like...
You should have called me.
You do the thing where you walk the Eevee for, like, two candies, which was something else you do in the same research, and then you have to make sure that the Eevee that you evolve is the one that's your buddy, and it should evolve, if you do it during the day, it should evolve as an Espeon. And I was like, God, instead of a prayer, Richard, for just, like, going on. Because I had already done the, you know, the two candy walks, so I'm like, I'm having to do another 10 kilometers.
Yeah. Although now that it runs in the background, it's a lot easier to get some distance out of the game.
Yeah.
I've had my own Eevee saga because I got Let's Go Eevee.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been playing on the Switch, and I just got to, like, yesterday, the town where you can put your Go Pokemon into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I transferred, like, a Moltres, but now I have to catch it in the game, and I can't because I'm not good enough yet. So.
Oh, no.
It's my own little saga. But luckily, I have my 15-year-old walking Pokedex to guide me through, you know, how to really play the game and pick the right moves.
Yes. Let's see. Me and my husband binge-watched the entire season of Cells at Work, which is an anime. We got Crunchyroll. We got it for the free 15-day trial, but we're probably going to... It's only $7 a month, so we're probably going to keep it for a couple months. And it is delightful. It is just... It's actually educational, and it's funny, and it's cute. I do recommend for anime lovers, even people that aren't, like, super into anime, if you like biology, you actually might like this show. But it's really cute.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, it's all the whole first season, which there's only one season right now, but it's all on Crunchyroll. And it's just, as I said, it's delightful.
Delightful.
Yes. I do actually have a plushie update, as it were. I made a shiny Ponyta because I don't have it because I already gave it to the person that it's supposed to go to. I was going to show it off last week because I hadn't given it to them yet.
You should have printed
But
out a picture.
I can, there's a, there, I put pictures on Facebook. Maybe I can like attach it to our notes so that it'll be attached to the notes so you can see the picture
Yes.
there. But it was for a friend of mine who didn't catch the shiny Ponyta during the event. And so her boyfriend was like, "Can you please make her one? Because she didn't catch one and she was very sad." So I made her one and then I
Aww.
gave it to her.
That's the event I didn't get to do at all.
What was really funny though is because like she was like posting it up on Facebook after she got it. She was like, "Look at this cute thing." And then her friends were like, "Oh, you didn't catch one? I have an extra. Let me trade it to you." So
Bonus.
bonus. And then I also have finished two pretty scarves. I found this pattern that I really like, so I'm making a bunch of infinity scarves. I've got this brown one that's it's all variegated. I found this type of yarn that just variegates really nicely. So I've got this nice brown one, and I have this kind of sea colored one that goes from like dark to light.
Ooh, pretty. The brownish
So
one is almost Whovian.
a little bit, yeah. I'm going to be using the brown one for a next LARP character. The blue one may go to somebody as a Christmas present. I haven't decided yet. It's very pretty.
It is very, very pretty.
So that was basically my week. It's a bunch of 2 weeks, a bunch of yarn and an Eevee saga.
Very appropriate for the launch of Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, pretty. It is. So I think with that we can head on over to the Geek Grapevine. You have
Oh yeah, I did this.
the first
Whoo,
one.
whoo.
I
Yeah. I was like, this can't be true. And then I went, oh my God, it's an NPR article. So a Chinese scientist said he is the first to create genetically modified babies using the CRISPR gene. Apparently, he said he created twin girls. Don't know, how did they modify the embryos? Two beautiful little Chinese girls named Lulu and Nana came crying into the world as healthy as any other babies a few weeks ago. And there is a video online. I will have the link in our notes. Apparently, he said his team performed gene surgery on embryos created from their parents' sperm and eggs to protect the children from HIV.
Yeah.
Does the children the father's HIV positive?
That's really impressive.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize we had actually gotten to identifying that genetic doorway. I missed that somewhere along the line with keeping up with AIDS research, but holy cow, that's really like that puts a different spin. I mean, people you talk about the bioethics and people are you really there? I think there is some doubt about the claim.
Yeah, but it's so the
But I
here's the
mean,
thing, what I
if you
don't
start to able to
what
look at it like immunization in the womb, I mean, that's
Yeah.
incredibly ethical compared to the kind of things people are worried about, right? Like,
Well, I mean, if you look at the title of the article, it says Chinese scientist says he's first to create genetically modified babies using CRISPR. And it's like if somebody doesn't know, what that is, and it sounds like he's giving them blonde hair and blue eyes when actually he's just immunizing them.
Right.
And it's like that's a little bit on the writer of the article, you could have given it a less clickbaity title, but you know, that's the point, is to try and get people to click on it.
Oh, I don't know if genetically modified necessarily implies, gender choosing or anything.
No, but I mean, it is what probably a lot of lay people are going to think about.
Well, it's immediately where the discussion goes, I think. But I like this idea of using this CRISPR discovery in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I like once you read the article after getting through the clickbait title, almost, it's almost clickbait, not
It's
really,
like that.
but a
It's like
little
that
bit.
with, yeah. It's like that with so much news. People drive me crazy not reading articles. Holy crap.
Yeah, but once you actually read through it, it's like, oh, that's really cool because maybe we can get to the point where we just give all of the booster shots, if you will, before they're even born.
Now here's an interesting point another expert made about it. Somebody said the risks of editing embryos to knock out CCR5 seem to outweigh the benefits. Feng Zhang said he's from MIT, and he noted that apparently knocking out the CCR5 gene will likely render a person more susceptible for West Nile virus. So, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be really precise, but I mean, this was a known risk they were attacking too. Because of the father's status. So it's not something you can just broadly use without looking at the consequences of what other doors it opens.
And I mean, it looks like they are looking at the risks because it's been noted. So it's not like they're going in here and being like, we're doing this thing and nothing bad will happen.
I think this is amazing.
I do too. It's really, really cool.
Sometimes risks have to take place. It's how we learn things. And if we're all consenting.
Well, that's what happened with the first immunizations to begin with.
Right?
The doctor that came up with that was like, well, gonna do myself and my child. Here we go.
I've been loving the the romaine lettuce memes this holiday.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
CDC says romaine is dangerous. Everybody takes this gospel and throws it away. CDC says immunize your children. Oh no! I've got essential oils. We're fine. I know my child. So what have you got here?
What I have is there's, I believe this is also MIT. They're on the ball, apparently. They have built a plane with no moving parts. It's only like drone sized right now, but it is propelled. Let me see if I can, I don't want to misquote.
Ionic.
Ionic, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
It's a little odd
ionic
looking.
wind. Ionic wind. It's a little strange looking. It's a prototype. and it's just like it's really cool because it's like quiet. It doesn't have I engines. It's just it's propelled through wind.
Ionic wind.
Ionic
That's
wind.
really neat.
Electro aerodynamic thrust.
So now I'm going to take my ionic breeze apart and see if I can make one.
See if you can make a plane out of
I don't know
it.
that. Here's another clickbaity thing, right? I don't know that no moving parts is accurate. I mean, no moving parts, it doesn't have an engine. But if it didn't have any moving parts, you couldn't steer it or land it or take it off.
I mean, that's true.
Wind would
They
just blow it across
again.
the
Again, this is like it's like only the size of a drone right now,
Yeah.
but they're like, but this is the beginning of we could eventually get like commercial air flights. It's let's see, it's still some way away from an aircraft that could perform a useful mission. It needs to be more efficient, fly longer, and fly outside. So even the people that made it are like, it needs more testing, but right now they've got a good prototype.
This is really interesting. I'm really curious about the fuel source. because it used to take a lot of electricity to do ionic thrust. And it doesn't really, I can't find in the article where it clarifies how they're solving that.
Yeah.
But I'll read it more carefully later.
Well, there's also a YouTube clip that goes cool. with it. So I think they go more into it.
And there's a full study published in Nature.
Yes. Yeah, this is just the geek.com, like, snippet. The full study is posted elsewhere.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it might be linked here, so. Awesome. I'm that nerd. I'm gonna, like, read the freaking study, like, when stuff's in the legislature, I read the damn legislation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now...
Now,
more
Pokemon news. So Pokemon's December, Pokemon Go's December Community Day is crazy. Like, I don't know if you heard about this, but it's bringing back all of 2018's event Pokemon. So it's going to last a whole weekend. Our storage limit, which is needed, has been expanded. I might have to drop a little money on that or go earn a lot of coin. And Cresselia will show up in raid battles for over half of December. I did Cresselia raids yesterday. I did two and caught two.
Yay!
I couldn't even... like, what? This is happening. much to the chagrin of other people who are not catching it. There's a lot of other, if people don't know, going on right now with the whole Eevee thing, with the launch of Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu.
There have been so many, like,
there's
I'm
a
happy.
Lot of them out. And
I'm
also,
there's a lot of them, but.
Yeah, and the evolutions are available in raids. And it only takes about two people to get those raids. So if you didn't evolve or get Vaporeon, Jolteon, Espeon, they're showing up in raids right now. But anyway.
I did the thing, like, when they first came out with, you know, Espeon and Umbreon, I did the nickname trick, and I got them to evolve to what I wanted. But now that I actually need to evolve it, I can't do it again because you can only do the nickname trick once.
Well, I haven't run into having to evolve the other ones yet, just that Espeon. I don't know how I pulled that off. Or maybe I got credit because I had already done it? That doesn't seem right. Anyway, excuse me. From November 30th at 1 p.m. Pacific to Sunday, December 2nd at 11 Pacific, following Pokemon and their Community Day moves, because you remember on Community Days, when you catch them during that, they have a special move as long as you evolve them during that time. Bulbasaur, Chikorita, and the move is Frenzy Plant. Charmander, you can get, and Cyndaquil, you get Blast Burn. Squirtle, you can get the Hydro Cannon. I wonder if you'll be able to get the sunglasses, because that was part of the Squirtle event that was really awesome.
That would be cute.
Pikachu with Surf. I believe I missed that event too. So that'll be good, because that's a really, in the real game, that's a good move. I assume it's a good move and go. Eevee with Last Resort, Dratini with Draco Meteor. I am looking forward to that, because if you guys didn't do the evolve and get Dragonite, I was happily surprised that the nice, awesome charcoal gray looking instead of the, you know, goofy orange evolve during that event. Mareep with Dragon Pulse, Larvitar with Smackdown, and Beldum with Meteor Mash. So these charge attacks will be replaced with the special moves. Pikachu can use Surf from the get-go without having to evolve to Raichu. So that's neat. That's kind of a nifty lore thing.
Yeah.
Like, they've carried that over into the Switch games, where your initial starter, whether it's Pikachu or Eevee, cannot be evolved. If you catch one in the wild, you can evolve them, but your original can't be evolved, kind of like in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also kind of OP. They're definitely boosted. People have already finished the game using only their starter.
Wow.
But it'd be good to stock up on a whole lot of Eevees, because Glaceon and Leafeon possibly appearing in Go in the future. So stock up on Eevees.
I want them.
You know how many Pidgeys I trashed? And now I need to evolve a Pidgey, and they're not. It was like rats and Pidgeys everywhere, and now there are so many Pokemon, there's none around, and I need to evolve one.
That's what my friend Kelly is going through. She's like, I need Pidgeys. Where are the stupid birds?
Like, words you thought you'd never say. So what else? In addition to the event, December Community Day will include special bonuses like Double Catch XP, Double Catch Stardust. Oh, that's good because we're gonna have that trading event the week after, and I will need all that Stardust
I
for my
wonder if you
flyers to give me
can.
stuff I can't get. And double incubator effectiveness.
I wonder if you can use a lucky egg while that's going on and get it even more.
I know that Pinat berries work when they have those bonuses going on.
Yeah,
Like
that's
when you
true.
get, it does double those, so I don't know why it wouldn't.
So maybe. I used a couple of star shard pieces like the other day, and I'd never used them before because I hadn't gotten them, and so I finally had like two. And I was just like, okay, we're gonna use this. Ooh, I'm sparkly. Because when you use the star shards, you have like glitter coming off of you as you're walking.
Yes. It's like, why is my character farting? Oh no. I'm farting glitter. It's okay.
That's always fine.
Yeah, so that's our Pokemon update. I'm going to have to come up with a bumper for Pokemon updates, man. We're sticking with this game.
Well, I mean, it's slowly improving. Like it's getting better and better. They're actually like taking the criticisms that they're getting and they're like, "Okay, well, let's make this a better game so people will want to keep playing it."
Yeah, I have to check my app because I know it's in beta, so I don't know if I have it. That's another thing with planning that event today. Whether or not they have live right. I've seen stops being added, so I feel like it has to be live. But I really want to add the brewery as a stop. There is a gym nearby that you can't quite reach from there, but this brewery is the first brewery in Statesville since Prohibition. And I think that's
Oh.
historically relevant enough to get be a stop.
Yeah, it is. I would think so.
At least.
If our big chicken in Georgia, which is a Chick-fil-A, can have a Pokestop, I think your brewery should
Big chicken.
qualify.
Yeah.
It is.
There's like
It's the
painted benches, right? Like,
If you look up Big Chicken Marietta, Georgia, you will see a picture of why we call it
I
that.
think you've sent me a gift from there.
Yeah,
I
probably.
love that part of the game, by the way. Getting gifts from people in other places and like being able to see what the stop is.
Yeah, that's why you were like, you were in North Carolina, you were in Asheville, why didn't
Yeah,
you send
busted.
me?
I mean, you were in Asheville. Jeez.
I was wondering if you would notice, so I was like, I'm just gonna send this one and see if she notices. But we were literally in Asheville for like 20 minutes because we were passing through to get to the place we were going. So I think that's the news that we've
Yes,
got.
halfway through the show. Whew.
So we're not doing a spill this week because Jen isn't here with us. And that's her thing. So today's topic is we're going to talk about formative anime. What I mean by formative anime is anime that was your introduction to anime as a genre. So anime is Japanese animation. It's that kind of it's very stylized animation that comes specifically from Japan. It's not only for kids. There's a whole bunch of anime that is like PG
Definitely not.
13 and up. And I actually forgot one when I was sitting here. Hold on a second. I gotta put this in. So we're
Yeah,
gonna go through and talk.
I just threw in a few things that like I wanted to remember or to, talk about. I don't consider myself really big on anime, but you're talking about, formative and things that were introductions, and I feel like I've been introduced over and over. My first would have to have been Star Blazers. When I was little, it was on TV. I mean, and that was my first, like, oh, I don't know what it is, guys with blue hair. It's always like from then to Marth, and
That's
sometimes in
the
real
one
life.
everyone goes for is the guys and girls with blue hair.
I don't know what it was. And I was re-watching Star Blazers a little while ago, and I'm like, wow, that guy was kind of a jerk. What the hell? This is not the way I remembered it at all. I totally romanticized this character. Had to be the blue hair. But it was so different than anything else on. And I was fascinated. And I definitely didn't get... I couldn't have an appreciation at that young age for that kind of... It's kind of high sci-fi, right? And
right, yeah.
But I was just enamored of it, and so much of it was the look. Then it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s, and I had a son, and then we were, you know, we were really broke, so we'd go to the library, and you could borrow videos at the library. And it caught my eye, my friend Totoro. And we both so fell in love with it. It holds place in my heart. And the, you know, Totoro and the cat bus, and just, it's a very lasting images and story. Actually, my Chrome Google background thing is a Totoro image, because you could theme it that way. I found the theme and it was like, mine. But then we didn't really ever stay into, you know, watch an anime or anything like that. So the more recent reintroduction, and I don't know how it counts. The whole family fell in love with Avatar.
Okay, yeah.
Is that really, from a manga? Is it?
No, actually, but a lot of the...
The style animators, is there.
Yeah, the animators were very influenced by anime. They were actually trying to, like, They were trying to integrate that kind of style. You can still tell that it's an Americanized, like, anime style, just because for those of us who, you know, like, grew up with the 90s stuff, the animation style is very, very good. But they're totally taking, you know, the large expressions, you know, when they're shocked or whatever, and the over kind of dramatic tone sometimes, and it's beautiful, you know, it's beautifully animated.
You know, it's funny, those bits that are so iconic in anime with the, when someone's crying and all of a sudden it's just their arms are waving and there's water flying out of their head, you know, and like, it's like, what in the hell? And there's even stuff like the difference between Full Metal Alchemist is another anime I really loved early on, but then watching them really Americanize the hell out of it and remove those elements, because, I mean, some people are annoyed and distracted by them and they don't kind of get, it is strange. It isn't for everyone.
Yeah, but
especially when you get like a super intense story and then some weird thing like that. It reminds me of old Warner Brothers, right? Where you've got like the wolf and his eyes pop out and his tongue pops out. It's that kind of effect, but right in the middle of like some drama.
Yeah, and I know that the animators for, like, I think at least for that particular series, that was meant to be kind of a comic relief because they didn't want to overstimulate their audience. So it can be super dramatic, but then you have that kind of moment of levity. And that's just the style of how it is, you know?
I mean, how else can you get away with such a dark story with children?
Hey, yeah. But by the way, if you haven't seen Full Metal Alchemist, woo boy! It's fun.
It's
fun.
And it's one of those that worms your way into your way of thinking, right? Like, and then Attack on Titan is something that...
Well, that one's fairly recent.
Very recent. My husband and I loved it. The middle kids liked it. My eldest couldn't watch it. It was too intense. and gory and I don't know, just, I mean, it's not, I mean, I guess it's well, gory. I don't know if I'd use that word, but.
And you have to kind of take this with, there are different types of anime. It's not all just one type. There's the really silly stuff. There's the super serious dark stuff. There's something that's like a little bit of that in between. You've got the super cute stuff.
I fell in love with like Fairy Tale.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So cute, but so much fan service.
Yeah.
Also like almost cute teenage funny flirty. And it's like all that fantasy, and then, you know, Sword Art Online is also, it's like fantasy, but in sci-fi.
Yeah, high-tech fantasy.
Yeah, and I loved both of those. I mean, there are so many, like, there are ones that, I don't remember the name. There's one about a girl who is transcribing letters for people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I was bawling my eyes out. It was like this incredibly moving journey. Oh, I can't remember her name. Yeah. And this other one with kids that, like, my middle son, he's 17 years old. He's giving me these animes to watch because we have had Crunchyroll for a long time. The kids are way into it. And he's telling me, and he watches ones that are rom-coms. And I was like, you're always such a jerk, and you, like, you don't like anybody, and he's watching these like tearjerker animes that are like so romantic and stuff. I like being able to see sounds and this competitive music world. I'm like, okay, well, help me get to know him better, I guess.
Yep. And that's kind of like, well, it, you know, that's one of his formative animes, I guess, if you will. Like mine, so I started watching anime in the early 2000s. Like, I had just gotten into high school, and they had started running Toonami on Cartoon Network. So Toonami was this block of like 2 hours where it had, like, I would call them teenage shows. They weren't like, you know, Dexter's Lab or anything that was on Cartoon Network normally, although there's some very adult humor in a lot of the cartoons from that time period. But they had this block of anime, basically. So I watched through, like, almost the entire series of Sailor Moon, Ronin Warriors, and Dragon Ball Z. Which, like, and then they had Reboot on in that same block, which I don't think is really an anime. I think that's American made. Don't quote me on that, because I don't actually know. But, like, Sailor Moon definitely was, like, my introduction to girly animes. And they were strong female characters, so I was like, that's really cool. And, like, I could, you know, relate. Because they were supposed to be in high school. I had just gotten into high school. So it was kind of, like, good, not good for me, but it was something I could relate to.
I was just, I guess, at exactly the wrong age to, I never got Sailor Moon. It just seems so, I don't know, formulaic, tropey, but I didn't watch either, so I can't, you know, make that judgment. I mean, my friend Daniel is one of the biggest Sailor Moon fans in the world, and you like it, so it's got to have more content than I saw. I just see a snippet, and it's like, woohoo, I spin around, and then my dress is really short, and I fight. Like, what?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The kind of 90s Sailor Moon was very formulaic, because I think they were waiting for the manga, so they had to come up with their own storyline. And it is so long. There are so many episodes. If you watch the one now that they have it's almost like a remastering of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Sailor Moon Crystal. It follows the manga almost to a T, and that story moves very quickly.
Mm.
Like, the first season of, like, the 90s Sailor Moon is like 50 plus episodes, and the first season of the Sailor Moon Crystal is maybe 24, if that many. So it's a much more condensed version of it. There's a little bit of character development that gets sacrificed for that, but it's much shorter. If you wanted to try again, as it were, it's a shorter, more concise retelling of the story.
Gotcha. That might be a good thing to check out. Is that on Crunchyroll?
I believe so. I
Man,
believe
Crunchyroll
it's on
should
Crunchyroll.
sponsor us. I have
It should.
subscribed to them for so long. I did find, I tapped my son, excuse me, that series that I was talking about. It's called Violet Evergarden.
Ah.
Highly, highly recommend. It was it beautiful to look at and beautiful storytelling, and this is based on apparently a light novel series. Like a lot of anime are based on manga, right?
Yeah.
And some on books. I don't know how much is. I mean, I guess things like Cowboy Bebop and JoJo are probably straight to anime.
Some of them were. I mean, I don't know obviously the history behind each of them, but there are a couple that have gone from books to anime. There's one series that I know of that went book, manga, and then anime, which was called Number Six. And it's like a post-apoc kind of like man versus, you're not sure what he's versus at first, but it turns out to be nature in a
Huh.
really weird way. So Number Six is something I would recommend. It's very short.
The other one that made me bawl my eyes out was based on a
Oh.
manga. It's called Your Lie in April.
Oh man.
That's the one I was talking about where it's all musicians.
Yes. That
You
is
seen that?
woo.
Ooh.
Yes. That is, wah. If you can't understand my ouchies, that's very much you watch that for the ouchies, but it's so pretty.
It is so beautiful and it's such a nice story and all great messages in it, and it's like a teen story, right? But it's so deep, and then oh yeah. That one made me cry a lot too. I don't know, I like dark things, right? I watch all these ones, I like the ones that are like deep and dark and end up making me cry. Like even with, I mean I guess we can't count Avatar, but Uncle Iroh is my favorite. And
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna try and track down the band and see if I can get permission to tack onto this episode. When Jen and I went to Vegas for the Nerdtacular meetup, one of the bands that played like a rockin' version of Leaves from the Vine. It was amazing. It took me a minute. I'm like, I know this song. I know this song. Oh, holy shit! And then I like hit record and caught a few seconds of it to send to my husband. I'm like, this is happening right now. Because, yeah, him singing that song about his dead son, like, oh my God.
Yeah, man, if because I downloaded the soundtrack for Avatar when it first came out. And yeah, I got to Leaves from the Vine, that song, and it's like, hello, Techie Gamer, good evening. That song, I was like,
Hi.
I'm listening to him sing, and he's like, it's from the actual like scene, so he starts crying, and I'm like, I'm tearing up. Oh God. So I was like, oh, so sad. But
Yeah. And what's it? Death Note? That was cool.
Death Note is
I understand
interesting.
hardcore fans hated the anime.
And
That was my feedback.
Death Note was never really my thing. Obviously that was later. Like besides like the Toonami block, I got to see snippets of what you might call darker animes, because I would I was able to stay up late on Friday and Saturday nights. My parents didn't care what I was watching. I had my own room to watch TV down in the basement.
Ooh, you're trusted.
I was the only child.
Ah.
And so I'm, watching TV like at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm seeing these animes on Cartoon Network that are, I'm only seeing one or two episodes because I never could get the schedule down of when what was playing. So I've seen most of Cowboy Bebop, a good chunk of Inuyasha, Yu Yu Hakusho, and there was like a couple others that I saw like one episode of, like Rurouni Kenshin, and oh god, what was there was another one. It was Starfighters. It's not the one you mentioned earlier.
Not Star
It was
Blazers.
no, it wasn't Star Blazers. Just something else. I'll think of it later. But it was like I was, trying to watch these. I'm like, wow, this is really weird because I'm being dropped in the middle of in the middle of these stories, and I have no idea what's going on. But then like towards the end of high school, I discovered Miyazaki films and Cardcaptor Sakura, which is Cardcaptor Sakura is my favorite anime ever. Because it's adorable and I love it. So yeah, those were like my formative animes.
I don't understand Dragon Ball. I don't think I've ever watched more than half an episode, I have to say. But I have friends who are so into it.
I remember like I remember I watched an episode on like a Monday, and then I couldn't catch it for the rest of the week because I had after school stuff. And I got back on Friday and he's still powering up for the same attack. So nothing happened for like 5 days. I was like,
Wow.
what? Oh man. So that's why you watch DBZ Abridged, which is hilarious and takes like half the time.
Right.
You should, if you haven't, go watch DBZ Abridged because the voice actors are hilarious, and it's boiled down to just its like barest components for you to understand the story and what's going on. It's great.
Yeah, I should spend more time with anime. I find them and I like binge stuff for a little bit and then I just leave it alone. And we can do that now. You don't have to wait for the next week and remember when
Yeah.
it's on.
Like I said, do recommend Cells at Work. It's only 13 episodes.
Yes,
And
actually, I need to write that down right now.
it's really cute. My husband is slogging through My Hero Academia. I'm popping in every now and then, catching episodes, because my crochet basket is out in the front room right now. So when he's watching, I watch with him, because why not? And it's interesting. I know a lot of my friends like really, really, really like My Hero Academia, and it is cute, and they do seem to be getting some good like character arcs. But like I said, I'm only popping in and out every now and then, so I'm not getting the full story. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that with that one. I started watching it and I seemed it's like it would have to be sequential.
Yeah, apparently once they get into high school, it starts becoming far more interesting. Let's see, Techie Gamer says, that time I got reincarnated as a slime is a good show.
Neat. Have not heard of that. There's so much to choose from. I really think there is something for everyone. You might have to poke around. And like Linda said, there is a free trial of Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
You've
they
got
let
some
it
time.
free for 15 days.
And if you think
Oh.
you don't like anime, you might be surprised. You almost certainly will if you spend a little time. 'Cause it's not all the same thing. There's some of it I just can't even There are some I've started and shut off and never went back. And there are some that I binge it and, oh my God, why isn't there any more?
If you want to see a, like a subversion of the magical girl trope, watch Madoka Magica. That is, it's cute and also heavy. Oh my God, it's heavy.
Be sure and put it there in the notes. I think I may create a separate list in our notes of our recommended. Because we have a lot of things in our notes about just our memories and what brought us in.
I got it.
We put a recommended list. Mine will probably all be depressing and dark. I'll just, you know, that's, I'm sorry. I'm still a goth, apparently.
Yes, Techie, you have to be prepared. Madoka is something you prepare for.
I was not prepared properly for either Violet Evergarden or Your Lie in April, apparently, because nope.
Yeah, I think Madoka is something you would really like, Ember. Just from what you've been saying about the kind of anime that you like, I think you would actually really like it. Okay, sounds like work.
I will have to check that out. What day is it? Monday. Maybe I'll move my sewing machine to like the middle of the living room so I can watch anime while I work on my Christmas present. Because I have a lot of work to do.
And I think the full name is Puella Madoka Magica, but everyone usually just calls it Madoka Magica.
Well, I'll try to Google some things before I post the episode to get proper links as well as I can to stuff.
Yeah, and spellings. I'm probably spelling that incorrectly. Yep. So we'll do our list of do recommend and have that on our notes whenever we post those up for everybody.
Should be tomorrow.
Yep.
Because I do have to hand add all the bumpers this time, so.
Yeah. More editing. Yay!
It's okay.
So if you got your own animes that you recommend, please chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com or giving us a ring at 508-474-5577, and you can also tweet us at geekgirls. We'd love to hear from you and get more anime suggestions. Ember, what are you most anticipating right now?
Well, making things for holiday presents. I am so broke. I got a bunch of commissions, so I got to get those out of my way. And I've already been paid for those, so that's good. But everything broke. I had to take a loan for the plumbing, plus it cleared out the Christmas savings. And then my dishwasher and my oven broke a few days before Thanksgiving. Dishwasher still not fixed. Just got the parts in. Just everything exploded. And sucked it all up. And I got a call today, and I'm supposed to go to get an endoscopy, and apparently I didn't meet my deductible. So that's another $1,000 I don't have. But I have some really good ideas. And anyone out there, I make, you know, stuff. Pillows, pillowcases, curtains, pouches, I just figured out how to make. Somebody asked me, commissioned, well, not sort of commissioned, asked me to make something for her daughter, but daughter's a friend of mine, so ended up being a joint present. But, you know, we have all those plastic bags left over in your house all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like a plastic bag dispenser, but it's made of cloth. So I use, like, decorative cloth, like she's a Steelers fan. So I use Steelers cloth, and you can hang it on a hook, and you shove your plastic bags in the top, and it's got elastic at the bottom, so you just pull out your reusable plastic bags that you have left over from the grocery store. And it's, you know, less ugly than a bag of bags, which is what I have, even though I'm making these for other people.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was just like one of those, everyone I know could use one of these. Mm-hmm. And I have all kinds of cool nerd fabric, sports fabric. So my family doesn't listen anyway. That's what you're all getting. But I am looking forward to it, like getting busy. I like sewing because then like I come out with something that I accomplished at the end, no matter what else happened today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be jumping on that.
That's why I like crocheting, because you have a thing at the end of it.
Yeah, it's so gratifying. Somebody asked me at the Ren Fest, when one of the people I'm with, like, you still make jewelry, right? It's like, yeah. Have you ever thought about making enough to, like, have a setup here? No. That's a lot of people. I mean, it would take me the whole rest of the year just to make enough.
It's so much stock. And, like, I only do the one con. I only do one con per year, and it takes me 6 months to get stocked up for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to just be like, all day, every day, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, making jewelry, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, and that's not, like, anywhere near as fun as... Yeah, I can make a handful of pieces, go to an art show, and then people are like, ooh, can you do this? And like, or people just coming to me, which happens. Like, I have this event, and this is the color of my dress. Can you make me something? I love doing those pieces. Unique ones. So what are you looking forward to?
I am actually going to one of my mom's friends, the glass blower, and he's having an end of the year kind of sale. He's got a lot of... like old stock. So on Saturday, he's got like a bunch of things on sale that he's made, and all of his glass pieces are just amazing. I've got two of them that are little pumpkins that are all like different colors and really pretty. I love it. It's so pretty. I have to keep them up on high shelves to keep the cats away from them. So I'm going to go see if I can find some Christmas presents for people.
Cool.
Because I am all about, supporting my crafty friends, which I'll talk to you later after we stop recording about maybe getting a thing. P.S. and by the way.
Okay. So whatever that means.
It means I'm going to pay you, hon.
Okay. Making things is good.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm looking at Patreon trying to figure out what in the hell, because this isn't normally my job. And it looks like we got $3 from somewhere, and I can't figure out from who. So that's fun.
Thank you, whoever gave us $3.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay, more subs.
We love you.
So much. Seriously. And remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Monday evenings. The next one will be on December 3rd at 8:30 p.m., there may be a modification to that. We may have an additional episode sometime during the week. And I am working right now with the creators of The Toys That Made Us. If you're a longtime listener, you know we did a show inspired by that show. They have a new show coming out called Discontinued, about discontinued items. It's going to be, I think, on the CW. But they emailed me looking to set up an interview. So we're going to try and work that out, and hopefully we'll have that really exciting guest next week around this time. In addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, throw them at us at any time. We're supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a Patreon today at patreon.com/grills.
And you can leave us a review on any of your podcast catchers that help our rankings, which helps people find us, which is amazing. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and help spread the word there. We would really appreciate it.
I want to send out a special thank you this week to Big Voice Jay, who has recorded an ad spot for us and is willing to do some other recording for new bumpers. I have just been really bad about not getting him scripts, but he's been a great help, and I look forward to working with him some more.
Hooray! Thank you! So, Amber, where can we find you on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on YouTube, doing the Heresy and Hearsay show.
And you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which comes out on the first of every month. You can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. And you can find The Gen at The Gen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/TheGenPlays. You can find everything at TheGenSays.com because she owns that domain. So thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.